Russia is the world's biggest nation in terms of landmass. China, of course, is number one in population. During the Soviet era, the two giants were openly hostile to each other. In recent years, they've put much of that behind them. But many Russians retain a mistrust of China, especially in light of its increasing economic and political might. Today, we conclude our series on how China is viewed by its neighbors with a report from NPR's Lawrence Sheets. He spoke with Russians in the far eastern city of Khabarovsk.
Looking out from Khabarovsk over the snow-bound banks of the Amur River, you can see the factory smokestacks of Chinese towns on the other side. Though some call it the River of Love, from the 1960s until the 1980s, the Amur was the front line for two competing communist orthodoxies, Leninism on one side, Maoism on the other. And the divide was more than just ideological. The Soviet Red Army faced off in numerous violent border clashes here against Chinese troops. Now, things have changed. In the year 2000, Russia and China signed a landmark bilateral agreement. Almost all border disputes are now resolved. And the treaty proclaimed that Russia and China were now formally strategic partners. Tens of thousands of Chinese and Russians now move back and forth across the border here each year. At bazaars here in Khabarovsk, Chinese traders do a brisk business selling everything from cheap clothing to portable stereos and kitchen appliances. And the Chinese influence is palpable in other ways. In one of Khabarovsk's elite schools, Russian kids recite a popular Chinese children's poem in Mandarin. This group of 10 and 11-year-olds has been studying Mandarin for 3 years. For them, Sino-Soviet rivalries of the past are ancient history. Sasha associates China with the sportswear, food, and toys he sees in local markets. China and Russia are friends, Sasha says. There's a lot of trade between our countries now. The Chinese bring us cheap goods. We'd all go hungry without the food the Chinese bring into our country. Teacher Ludmila Katilnikova says more and more Russian parents are trying to get their kids into Chinese language courses, which are viewed as a path to better jobs in trade or business.
The parents of our kids are well educated, and they want their children to study Chinese. As many people say, the future is with China.
What a far cry from the Soviet era. Popular jokes then used to reflect Russians' widespread apprehension about alleged Chinese expansionism. It used to be said that optimistic Russians studied English, pessimists Chinese. Most here, however, like Khabarovsk college student Lena Syomanova, have more nuanced attitudes. Even though it's just across the border, to Lena, China is still mysterious.
Well, I don't think China is a friend or an enemy to us. I think we still know too little about China. We don't know their intentions, their real intentions, and it's still a very closed country. In order to define it as a friend or an enemy, I think we should first learn exactly what they want from us, what their plans are, and what their perception of Russia is.
This is a common feeling, according to Dmitry Trenin of the Moscow Carnegie Center.
Well, I think average Russians are ambivalent about China. On the one hand, they relish the fact that China, after 30 years of a Cold War between the Soviet Union and China, is no longer an enemy. And this is a huge relief. On the other hand, people are worried that China might present all sorts of problems in the future. That would be the problems related to China's very rapid development, China overshadowing Russia.
China is, in fact, already overshadowing Russia economically. While living standards are still significantly higher in Russia, the gap has narrowed quickly over the last few years. And with a population of 1.3 billion compared to just 140 million Russians, China's overall economy is now roughly five times bigger. Border cities in the Russian Far East, like Khabarovsk, are struggling economically and losing population. But on the Chinese side of the border, huge new office and residential buildings are going up. Dmitry Trenin of the Moscow Carnegie Center says psychologically it's difficult for many Russians to come to terms with the rise of China, a country many of them used to view as a backwater.
It's astounding for any Russian, and it's also it's also, in a way, offending to see what's been going on. They used to compare themselves with Japan. Now they cannot even compare themselves with China.
Sergei Lusyagin, an expert on Sino-Russian relations, says that the proclaimed strategic partnership between the two countries is real. But Lusyagin says increasingly it's an asymmetrical relationship.
During the Soviet period, China was the little brother. Today, it's the other way around. China is turning into the big brother, and Russia, the little one.
But Lusyagin says in many ways, Moscow is economically bound to Beijing. Russia's biggest buyer of arms, for instance, is China. Beijing buys more than $1 billion worth of military hardware a year from Russia. Without the revenues, some of Russia's weapons exporters would close down completely. For ultra-nationalist like Parliament member Alexei Mitrofanov, that poses a dilemma.
I think it's a very difficult issue because at the same time, Chinese state is a big trade partner of the Russian Federation, especially in military field. From one side, Russia is making a lot of money on it. From other side, certainly we are creating some danger, some political and military danger in the future.
And as a vivid illustration of Russia's continued suspicions toward China, Moscow has refused to sell Beijing its most modern Sukhoi fighter planes. The Chinese are being supplied with a model with less sophisticated strike capabilities. By contrast, Russia has had no qualms about selling India the more advanced version of the fighter bomber. Some nationalists put forward a conspiracy theory that China might seek to relieve its problems with overpopulation by expanding into the vast but sparsely populated Russian Far East. The entire region is home to just 6 million people. The neighboring Chinese province, by contrast, has 77 million people. China skeptics like Khabarovsk professor Vladimir Popov allege there are secret plans for what he calls a greater China.
They've had these plans for a long time. First Hong Kong, then Taiwan, then the Russian Far East. That's what they need for a greater China.
Popov fears economic collapse or political chaos could one day send millions of Chinese over the border. Although alarmist books with titles like The Yellow Threat have appeared in Russian bookstores, few people buy them. And views like those held by Professor Popov are considered extreme, especially in the Russian Far East, where there's more frequent contact with China. The closer one gets to Moscow, the more apprehension there seems to be. But Mikhail Margilov, the chairman of the International Relations Committee of Russia's upper house of parliament, insists such thinking is not common in the Russian leadership.
I don't think we have the right to talk about any kind of yellow threat or red threat or any other or Southern Stripes threat. It's a Cold War time terminology.
Margilov notes China has renounced any territorial claims against Russia. Margilov admits, however, that there is lingering mistrust among many Russians toward China. He says getting over it will simply take time. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News.